Support for Spookfound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring a conference center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, KawasakiMaryville.com.
Welcome back to Spoofhound Spotlight here on KXCV. KRNW, I'm your host, Jeremy Werner, and joining me as he does for every episode is the Maryville R2 Superintendent, Dr. Logan Lightfoot. So I guess the first thing I wanted to talk to you about was the retreat with the Board of Education and administrators that kind of, you know, jump-started the summer for you. How did those go?
Yeah, two great opportunities to get together with our building leaders and our district leaders. That was on a Tuesday, and that was an all-day thing. And then on Thursday, we turned around and had a retreat with our Board of Education. Came out to the university and used the Ag Learning Center, and that was wonderful to use their great facilities. And we had Kevin Daniel out to help facilitate that. And Jeremy, we spent literally all day there, but it was incredibly productive. So I always kind of like to start off the summer by doing those things to just kind of, it's a nice time to reflect on the year previously. You know, what did we set out to accomplish? Did we accomplish those things? And if we didn't, you know, what do we need to carry into next year? But then also kind of looking into the future. And both on the school leadership side and on the board side, we really had a chance to look at both those things.
I'm sure it helps with the board because there were, what, three new members after the elections?
Yeah, it was incredibly unique. And so that was really nice. And some of the feedback I got from my new board members was just the idea that it was nice to get everybody together just to get to know each other a little bit more outside the normal regular meetings, you know, just to kind of get to know how each other ticks a little bit and talk about goals and what they see as the ideal school district and what they see as priorities for a school district. And yeah, it was a wonderful time for sure.
And so, you know, looking at the goals discussed, I assume the long range plan was a part of those discussions as well.
It was. And that was probably, I would say probably a majority of our afternoon was spent on our long-range plan. And so what we did that afternoon was we rolled out in our long-range plan, we rolled out what we call as phase one, and we'd like to really take a hard look at even starting that probably in April or May of this coming year, of April, May of 24. And what phase one looks like is it's pretty involved. We rolled that out to our board and actually had our architects come out and present that to them and able to ask some questions and things like that. But there's some great opportunities that we can really pour into our kids in our school district right now that's going to have a dramatic impact and effect on kids, not only for the next couple of years, but for the next several decades.
I don't want to put the, carriage before the horse, but how many phases do you think are going to be in this plan?
Yeah, there's going to be a total of four, and that's going to happen over 10 years. And we're looking at phase one right now, and I'll kind of just give you a little bit of an idea, a preview of that, is we're going to try to touch, you know, three buildings with some things that really need to be done at the elementary school and early childhood center. We're looking at doing basically a complete renovation of the learning spaces in that building, and actually potentially doing a little bit of tearing down and some new construction and some portions of that building. And we really feel like the plan that we put together is really going to serve our learners currently and then in the future. Just really, if you've been inside the early childhood center, you've been inside Eugene Field. You know, Eugene Field's a beautiful building, and it's, in terms of the actual structure, it's built very well, but just the classrooms, you know, they need some updating. Yeah, we've got classrooms that anywhere from under 500 square feet to 800 square feet. And if you think about just the disproportionate, you know, classroom size and, you know, how they were maybe built for students, you know, 40 years ago, but not necessarily students now, those classrooms need some work. And then our early childhood center, if you look at those needs we have there, we just have a huge need for early childhood support in Maryville. And so how are we as a school district going to meet the needs of our community and what that is now and what that is into the future? And so we feel like the plan we put together for that really does fit all those things.
Okay. And so, you know, all this going on behind the scenes, summer school's been in basically session and, you know, wraps is already wrapped up, I guess. And I guess what, Was there any takeaway from summer school this year in the Maryville R2 school district?
Another great, very successful summer school. And, you know, our big goals is to extend that learning season for our kids, and we did that. Make it fun, we definitely did that. And that's huge kudos to our teachers. And then we've got Howard Dumke and Amy Webb, we're our leaders for that, for summer school, and they've done a fantastic job for that. And just really, I mean, the programming was great. Our kids were engaged, and they really, you know, we had, I think, I don't want to get the numbers totally wrong, but around 385 kids, you know, signed up for it and were admitted into the program and really had a great time doing it. So I can't speak highly enough, and we've talked about this on the program before, but when you can get kids to come in June of, you know, of a summer mm-hmm. and spend 8 hours, 7 hours in summer school and really want to come back and really enjoy the learning, that speaks highly to your teachers.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it also speaks to, you know, the school district for offering something like that, because it probably is just a lot of, I don't want to say directionless, but, you know, students who do need that extra time in the classroom.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just, you know, that's another unique thing about our offering is we get all types of kids. You know, we get kids that maybe do need that little extra bit of learning time. We get kids that maybe not necessarily... You know, they don't need that, but they really like school and, you know, anything in between. And to be able to service all those kinds of kids and for all those kinds of kids to be able to feel, you know, included in summer school and really want to be there, man, what a great opportunity for them.
And then, of course, there's summer camps throughout the summer. How are those going in terms of athletics?
Oh, gosh, it's... I kind of make the joke that the school district's never closed, and I think that's a big part of it. We've been running. I mean, gosh, I was down at the middle school yesterday, and anything from, you know, they're constantly going with middle school weights, high school weights, and we've had basketball camps already between the college and here, and those have been going great, and it's been kind of neat to watch a little bit, just kind of peek in. And we've got some new coaches that are starting with some of our athletic teams. We've got some veteran coaches, and a lot of the times, especially with your fall sports, really those successful sports seasons don't start in August. Those successful sports seasons, you know, the foundation is laid the previous year, but really a lot of the foundation is laid in the summertime. And, you know, again, kudos to our athletes for there's a million different things you can do when 16 years old in 2023. And mm-hmm. we've got a lot of Maryville students that really pour their time, their talents, and their efforts into getting better as athletes. And, well, gosh, we've talked about this on the show. That the fruits of those labors comes out in our sports seasons for sure.
Oh, yeah, and I'm just like Matt is probably, I feel like I'm getting to a point where I mention Matt every episode, but I'm sure Matt's getting ready for Spoofhound football in a few months, so, you know, everyone's gearing up for that, and, you know, that's the importance of summer camp so that, you know, everyone's on the same page, not only on day one, but, you know, the days before day one, which I guess would be negative days, so just ignore that. But the... One thing I wanted to, you know, talk about from this month's Board of Education meeting, there was a discussion about Mosaic being integrated into, well, not integrated, but I'll let you explain it.
Yeah, no, it's a neat and a great opportunity for us. We had a long time, but we've been blessed to have a great athletic trainer in Paul Snow, and Coach Snow has done wonderful with decades of high school and middle school. I mean, all across the ages of Spoofhound students in terms of serving them and our athletic teams. But Mr. Snow retired this year, and so that left us with a little bit of a void for athletic training services. And so, I would say about October, November, we had put out, put out some advertisements for athletic training services and looked around and tried to find the best partnership, you know, because that's one of those unique positions where you want to find a service and you want to find people that are very invested in your kids. You know, you obviously want someone with a vast background in medical knowledge and athletic training service knowledge, but you also want to find, an organization that's really invested into your community and your school district, because there's nothing like, you know, you've got varsity JV football games, you've got middle school, you know, all sorts of sports, those kinds of things. You've got to have support for your athletes, and that doesn't fall in the normal 8-to-3 school hours. And so you want to find an organization that promotes community involvement and community support and school support, and also people within that organization that have a high knowledge of athletic training. And so we had an opportunity to work with Mosaic, and they're such wonderful supporters of our school district to begin with. And love how much they do for our school district, for our area school districts, and they offer athletic training services. And so we went through and had a chance to interview different applicants through Mosaic, and we think we found a good trainer, and we feel very good moving forward. We're gonna miss Mr. Snow in a lot of ways, and he's had a great impact on Maryville students. But we're also really excited to bring in Mosaic and partner with them for athletic training. That's for sure.
And is that something that, you know, will evolve over time, that kind of partnership with Mosaic?
You know, I anticipate it will. With this being our first year with working with Mosaic and in that, we'll probably find some needs that we have that we didn't really know that we needed, and we'll probably find some areas that we kind of, you know, tweak a little bit and those kinds of things. The important thing for me is, you know, as a school administrator and a school leader, is we wanted to find an organization that, like I talked about with the community support, was also that also is flexible with the school district, that, you know, can kind of work with us on our needs. And they've already proven that. You know, we've had a couple of instances where we've needed some athletic training support and things like that a little bit on the fly, so to speak, and they've been more than happy to accommodate us. And so I've been pleased with that so far, and I anticipate that relationship to kind of evolve as the years go on, but I anticipate it also to be very positive.
Okay. You know, we had discussed before, you know, stepping in studio and hitting record, that, you know, this month is a little bit slow, but this month is also kind of important because, you know, year ago, you were in here with former superintendent Becky Albright, who's now at the chamber, and it was kind of this transitional phase. So I guess what I'm getting at is, a year later, you know, as superintendent, how do you view, you know, not only the past year, but your first year as the superintendent?
That's a good question. And I could not ask for a better year in many respects, because I've got, you know, I've been blessed with just such a wonderful staff and a wonderful, you know, 1,430 kids that we get to work with every single day. And I that sounds cliche, but I mean it. I mean, there's a reason why folks come to Maryville to work here, Maryville R2, and there's a reason why they stay. And we have high expectations as a community, and that's one thing I love, both as a superintendent and as a dad of some, you know, of kids in a school district. And we also just, we've got good staff members, and we're not perfect. No one is, but just looking back on my first year, it's been neat for me to see all the community and school support we have. No matter, you know, what leader you are, at what level, you're going to be supported by people, and they want you to do the right thing. And mm-hmm. they're going to support people that do the right thing. And so that's something that's been a huge blessing for me. You know, looking forward, it's, if I had to sum it up in one word, it's exciting. I mean, we're looking straight down right now. We're going to talk about over the next 4, 5, 6 months, some really exciting things about what our school district can look like over the next 20, 30 years, and what we can do to really invest in our school facilities. And I talked about the elementary school earlier. I didn't mention about, there's some opportunities we have at the middle school. You know, for this phase one, we can do some things that really improve, like, our HVAC system, improve some learning spaces at the middle school. There's some opportunities at the high school that we can do right away to really improve learning spaces there. Our football field, our baseball field, our softball field, all those things, that's all in phase one. And those are all the things we're going to talk about the next couple of months. And so just as a school leader looking at that and knowing all the community and school support we have, gosh, what an exciting time to be in this school district.
And I don't want this to sound too much like an employee evaluation, but, you know, the past year, probably a lot of, you know, stressful, fun, you know, moments. Is there any other kind of just, like, really stick out? And, you know, I guess, you know, when I say stick out, it could be an employee, a student, just a moment that really just kind of sticks out to you that, you know, is either, you know, really fun, really educational, you know, whatever it is, just something that really just, like, rises above the rest and just makes you, you know, pause and reflect on the first year.
You know, there's, I have a couple of them. Let me kind of think through that. Probably the things that stick out to me most are the things that probably kind of touch my heart the most. You know, the things that kind of speak to me most as a person, you know, and a leader and that kind of thing. But, you know, I would say, I I'll actually approach this question from more of a dad standpoint. When we went to spring concerts and went into the Performing Arts Center, which was recently built, but I walked into that Performing Arts Center and I got to watch my daughter perform with her class, and I sat there as a parent, and we moved from a great place that we really enjoyed, and good community support there and things like that as well. But just watching my daughter being able to perform in such a nice facility, and watching her class and her classmates perform to a teacher that was so passionate about teaching kids vocal music the right way and teaching kids the love for fine arts, and then kind of reflect. And I remember sitting there in that chair and reflecting on my two kids and the experiences they had in 8 months at Maryville R2, and seeing both of my own kids grow so much as people, and seeing them grow because as a result of adults that really care about them, as a result of classmates they met that they didn't know, 8 months before. Those are the things that I really kind of look back on and realize what a special place we live and what a special place this is for me to lead. And so I think back to that concert, and it really, that was just kind of a moment of reflection for me to kind of put it all together.
And how have they been this summer?
It's been a fun summer. We've been on doing swim team. We've been doing soccer and all those good things, and it has not slowed down at all. We're looking at probably in July maybe taking a little bit of a family vacation somewhere. But the Maryville summers, and I remember this from college. The Maryville summers are always fun.
I was about to ask, is there a family trip in the pipeline? And it sounds like there is one being formulated as we speak.
Hey, Jeremy, we're going to Dallas in a couple of weeks.
Really?
Yeah. So this is another little known fact about me. I'm from Texas. My family moved to Nebraska when I was 10, but spent the first 10 years of my life in an area just north of Dallas. And I won't bore you with the full story, but one summer I got to be the bat boy for the Texas Rangers.
Really?
Yes, and it was awesome.
How do you get into a gig like that?
Totally backed into it. It was one of those things. It was in the 80s, and the Rangers were terrible, and like 100 lost seasons, that kind of thing. But they weren't very good. But I was a kid, and I loved professional baseball and all that kind of thing, and had a family friend through a family friend, and someone got sick and got busy, and they had an opening, and I got a chance to be the bat boy. And anyway, all of that, and I want to be able to take my family down to Dallas, and where my son and I are going to catch a Rangers game at the brand new ballpark. And I've been telling him all sorts of Nolan Ryan and Texas Ranger stories, so he's pretty jazzed.
This shows how little I pay attention to the MLB, but are the Rangers good this year?
Yeah, they are, and they've moved into a brand new ballpark, and they've got some players that are pretty fun to watch, and so yeah, we're pretty pumped to go.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I'm a Royals fan, so I basically am just admitting that I'm not a baseball fan, because being a fan of the Royals is like guaranteeing a swift kick to your crotch every summer.
That's a really good way to put it.
I won't stand on my soapbox and complain about a professional sports team that manages to lose that much.
Yeah, it's tough. I draw a lot of parallels from as a kid watching the Rangers to watching some of the Royals in the early 2000s. There's a lot of parallels there.
In that way we can relate over misery.
We definitely can.
Well, hopefully they win when you're down there.
I hope so. Yeah, we're going to be able to go down there and maybe catch Six Flags and, all that fun stuff.
I'm trying to remember. Maybe you know that. The Six Flags used to be Astro World, right?
That's actually Houston.
Houston, okay. Yes.
Yeah, Six Flags has always been Six Flags in Dallas. Okay. And then they've got a water park attached to it. And, of course, I'm
going to the water park?
Oh, we could not go down there and not go to the water. It's like 115 degrees down there right now. So I think it's like a requirement that you do go.
So that's part of Six Flags.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know because Schlitterbahn is a popular water parks down there.
It is. I think Schlitterbahn's a little further south than Dallas, but I don't know that for sure.
Okay. Yeah. I know they have, they have multiple. The only one I can think of is Galveston. Anyway, you know, anything else going on to the district that you'd like to mention or talk about?
You know, I'm excited to come back here next month and talk a little bit more. I'd love to get a little bit more into our long range plan, specifically into what phase one might look like. I think it's going to be pretty exciting. We're going to have a couple of opportunities to roll it out more to the community and have a chance to visit, you know, visit some organizations and people, and maybe even have some meetings, evening meetings, to where we can kind of show those plans and what those maybe look like, because I really do believe if we can kind of pull these things off and organize ourselves well, that we can put some things together that really benefit our kids for many, many years to come.
All right. Well, I felt like we learned a little bit before that final question, but if that's all, we're going to go ahead and switch to the Better Know a Superintendent.
Yes.
I feel like we learned a lot about Texas just a few minutes ago, but I guess the random thing I would like to ask is, what is the most ridiculous fact you know? And ridiculous is like one of those words that, you know, is what is ridiculous is different to other people. So something that would be ridiculous to me is like a ridiculous fact is, I think the time period between the Eiffel Tower and the pyramids is basically like the two peaks of like humans creating something incredibly tall. Basically, we never created anything as tall as pyramids until the Eiffel Tower.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very interesting fact for a species that managed to live 1,000 years without doing something else. But, you know, I have a bunch of, I guess it could even be just most random knowledge you have.
Yeah, and I can tend to be wealth of that, Jeremy. I'm trying to think of something specific. Let's see.
I mean, I can list off some more while you're thinking. I mean, not to be on topic, but the Titanic, the most ridiculous fact I have about that is there was, and I don't remember the crewman's name, but the crewman and Paul Rudd's father actually told this story. Paul Rudd, the actor, his father was a huge Titanic historian. But he actually has the letter, and it's a letter that Widow of a Crewman sent to White Star Line, which owned the RMS Titanic, and saying, you know, my husband died, I've been needing money, he was the sole breadwinner of the family, could you maybe pay him for a full day, because the ship technically sank on, was it Sunday, Monday, I can't remember, but, you know, it basically sank in the early morning hours of the next day, and she was like, can you, you know, throw me a bone and pay me his salary or his money for that day. And the White Star Line basically responded with, nah, in fact, you owe us money. Your husband was in charge of a bunch of different purses and cash registers on the ship. And, well, that went down with him, so we need that money back.
Oh, my gosh. Is that right?
Yeah.
I've never heard that story.
They were a very evil company.
That's terrible. Wow. Oh, so the one that comes to my mind, and this is not anything like crazy or spectacular. I'm an old English teacher, and high school English, and I can sing all the auxiliary verbs to London Bridge. That's how I used to teach my little froshlings the auxiliary verbs. So, I don't think many people walking around today can name all their auxiliary verbs, much less sing them.
I don't know if I could name one. Well, I could probably name a few, but yeah, I couldn't name all of them.
Yeah, so I'll take that. I'll take that one as my unique. It's my unique one.
Okay. Well, the other one I had, and I try not to think too much of summary stuff since we have a few more months of summer. But what future tech that doesn't exist now would you eventually like to have? And when I think like future tech, I think immediately to Back to the Future Part 2, where they put in this tiny little hockey puck pizza-looking thing in an oven, and then 10 seconds later, a full hot pipe and pizza comes out. I want the instant pizza. That is the future tech that I would, because there's just times where I'm like, I don't feel like cooking, and I order a pizza. Uh-huh. That's the equivalent of I'm wanting something good, but I'm too lazy to make it myself.
And that would
cut down on delivery time.
Yeah, that'd be all right, wouldn't it? Let me see here. If I something in the future tech wise,
Yeah. As far as I'm aware, they don't have instant pizzas yet.
How about this one? This is more of a seasonal thing. But if you could have something that maybe it's vision activated or whatever it is, if you could just look at your lawn and like the places you wanted to like cut your lawn, like if your lawn could be cut like just by like the power of you looking at it rather than you actually having to get on a lawnmower and do it, I'd be okay with that.
You know, that might be something you could patent right now, because they've said, like, you know, the next evolution of smartphones is basically implants into our like eyes and brain.
Yeah.
So that, you know, when we simply just think something like, you know, who was president in 1939, it would just immediately populate in our head. And so I'm thinking, I'm like, man, if you could just look at your lawn, you could just like blink a few times and all of a sudden your like little robot like lawnmower just goes out and buzzes it real quick and goes back into the garage.
Wouldn't that be nice? Those nice perfect lines too.
That's way better than my instant pizza. That's actually useful. That's just me being fat.
That's what I go with. But I've got, I'm going to give a shout out to the McKim brothers right now. They, they take care of my lawn and do a fantastic job. So I think even if I had the ability to do the cut by eyesight, I might still stick with the McKim brothers.
Maybe all you have to do is just in the future go outside and realize, I don't like my lawn looking this shaggy, and just your phone or whatever program immediately just dials them up and schedules it.
That, there you go. That's right. That might be even better.
I could see that happening eventually.
That might be more practical, you know, because you wouldn't want to get a lawnmower out there without you behind it. Yep, I'll go with that one.
All right, well, anything else?
No, it's just, I mean, again, to avoid the cliches, it sure is a great time to be a spoof hound right now.
Support for Spoof Hound Spotlight comes from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years, thanks to the workforce at its Maryville plant. Employment opportunities at Kawasaki are available now. For information on careers, KawasakiMaryville.com. Also from the city of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. Golf offerings at Mazingo Lake include the Seacrest 18, the Watson 9, and golf simulators open year-round in the Conference Center. Details on tee times are available at MazingoLake.com.